Support for this podcast comes from the UTSA Institute of Texan Cultures, telling stories of Texas history and heritage from diverse cultures that define the state's unique character for over 50 years. Details at texancultures.utsa.edu.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Governor Greg Abbott has declared that Texas is back open for business. Public health experts say this means without proper precautions, Texas is also back open for COVID-19. A recent leaked audio tape from Governor Greg Abbott makes this connection. He said it's inevitable that cases will go up when businesses open. So is this a risk that you, as a customer, are willing to take? What do you want to see from a business? What are they going to do for your safety before you walk through their door? Is a face mask requirement something that you welcome, something that you think should be required for any customer who goes into that store for your protection and for the employees' protection? How do you think the reopening of businesses in Texas is going to roll out? Give us a call. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Email us at thesource@tpr.org. We're joined this hour by Dawn Ann Larios, Executive Director of the Texas Restaurant Association San Antonio Chapter. Dawn Ann, welcome to The Source.
Thank you, Mr. Davies. Thank you for having me, and I also appreciate you, including our industry, which is so important and has been so devastated during this COVID-19 crisis.
Also with us, Buddy Morris, Chairman of the Spire Risk Management and member of the City of San Antonio and Bexar County Economic Transition Team. Buddy Morris, good to have you, sir.
Thank you very much. I'm pleased to be here and looking forward to the conversation.
And Liz Provencio is the first assistant city attorney for the City of San Antonio, and she joins us. Liz Provencio, good to have you.
Thank you, David.
So first off, let me go to Dawn Ann Larios. If you could talk about what's happening with restaurants here in San Antonio. What is the order that they're operating under, and how many are going to do that?
Well, as of right now, we have about 1% of our restaurants who have reopened for dine-in experience. And of course, with a 25% capacity or occupancy, I should say, ordered by the governor, some restaurants are holding off until we reach at least a 50% occupancy. But one thing that we are doing, and we laid this document out weeks ago, it's called the Texas Restaurant Promise. And what we're doing is this document is promising to our employees, to our customers, to our communities, that we will continue to be a leader in safe sanitation practices, which means we'll follow all the minimum standard health protocols for restaurants, which were adopted by the state. We're following CDC guidelines. And of course, we're following our local health inspectors, what they are recommending for our restaurants.
Buddy Morris with the Economic Transition Team, what are you looking at right now?
Well, I'll tell you, definitely interesting times, I think, for everybody, specifically in our community. You know, I think there's a fine line between the health of the city's residents and the health of our city's economy. In my view, as a member of the team, I would submit that our city leaders, including Liz on the call and Mayor Nuremberg and Judge Wolf and everybody involved have really balanced that fine line appropriately. It's a tough one, but I really admire the work that everybody's put in, and I think we're on the right path.
Liz Provencio, first assistant city attorney for San Antonio. What are y'all looking at? Y'all are trying to see that, I mean, it seems like this is coming from the governor's office. Is there a whole lot that the city of San Antonio now has the ability to execute here?
Thank you, David. Yes, well, we monitor and, of course, take deep dives into the governor's office, both orders and advisories as we receive them. And as you know, this week, on Tuesday, we got another executive order from the governor that added additional businesses to the reopen services. And so while his order continues to be a stay-at-home order, he does require just households to congregate together. He has allowed certain essential services as well as reopen services. So we continue to monitor that, implement that, and be sure that that's applied consistently.
All right, let's go to the phone lines, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And Karen, hi, Karen. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. My only comment was that I'm not going back, and not until I know that it's safe and the medical experts tell me it's safe.
And that means you're not going back to, what, restaurants or the mall or to the movie theater?
Yeah, I'm working from my home. I'm a lawyer. I'm not going to movie theaters. I'm not going to restaurants. I'm not going anywhere until the medical experts, not people that are telling me I should be willing to die for the economy, that it's okay to go out. I will wait.
Karen, thank you for your call. Appreciate that. So there's a lot of opinions out there. That is one of them. But every opinion, you know, is a dollar. One less person who says, I'm not going to go into that business until the health experts tell me that it is safe to do that. Buddy Morris with the San Antonio Bexar County Economic Transition Team, we do have a list of parameters, things that marks that have to be hit or should have been hit in order to reopen, before we reopen the economy, have things like an abundance of testing, have robust contact tracing, have all sorts of ways to deal with the spread of coronavirus, so having a steady decreased number of cases. We don't have those things.
Well, to your point, David, these are definitely challenging times, and this is complicated. I mentioned earlier the fine line between opening the economy and protecting people's health. What I can tell you is that our political and city leaders in San Antonio are taking this incredibly seriously. In my view, everything that has transpired and the effort that's been put into this by the city has really been phenomenal. I completely respect your caller's opinion. I've talked to many people that have that same opinion. What I can tell you is that in addition to the governor's proclamations and guidelines, the city of San Antonio has put together what we're calling the Greater Safer Together Pledge. We're asking people to go to greatersafersa.com in terms of business owners and make the pledge. The pledge is designed to increase consumer confidence and make people feel more comfortable. Now, you're not going to make everybody feel comfortable, David, but at the end of the day, it's our responsibility to put guidelines and processes and procedures in place for the city of San Antonio so that we can do our best to protect the health and the economy of the city.
All right.
If you don't mind, I'll go through.
Well, we can do that when we come back from the break. We're up against the break. But, you know, you keep talking about a fine line. And so what I want to do in the remainder of our program here is really figure out where that fine line is, try and really highlight that fine line, figure out what can we do locally to help our local businesses reopen, become profitable, while not putting people at risk for the spread of COVID-19. And so we're going to be talking about that when we come back from the break. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. The Source continues after a one-minute break. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about businesses that are reopening, restaurants, and then tomorrow pools and other places, tanning salons that you can go to. It's all governor's orders. They're saying we're back open for business, but however, we still have coronavirus that has not gone away. So how do we do these things safely? You can call in. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. If you're a business owner, call in. Tell us what you're going to do or what are you looking for. What are your concerns? If you're a customer, we're all customers. What are you looking for when you walk into the door? When you see that sign, it says a mask is required. Does that fill you with some confidence that this is a safe place for you to go to, or does it make you outraged? Oh, my civil rights. Call in. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Let's bring in another voice. This is Pete Cortez, and Pete Cortez is with the La Familia Cortez, the Economic Transition Team member, and he is also the, you know, Mitiera and the great restaurants at Market Square. And so, Pete, welcome to The Source.
Thank you, David. Thank you for having me.
All right. So, what are your, I mean, you have one of the big restaurants in San Antonio. Everyone knows about Mitiera. What are y'all doing with that?
Well, we're planning a May 18th reopening. We just thought it was too soon to open, you know, last week. We could have if we needed to, but we just felt that waiting a little bit longer would help us to get our employees ready to go and get the restaurants ready to go. And then actually bigger than that is Market Square. We've been in conversations with the city and the tenants here at Market Square, which probably won't reopen until May 22nd, actually, just before the Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, I went to Market Square on March 12th, which was the last day that they were, or 13th, for lunch. And is this is all going to be, I just wanted to soak it in because I knew what was coming. And I got a gordita from one of the booth ladies, and it was delicious. And it was just like, you know, I could tell this was not going to last. And then that day, the order came, you know, that we're going to have to shut down our restaurants. And I could see some of the waiters coming out of your restaurant. They look pretty, they're on their face. You could read it on their face.
Yes, I mean, even before the actual shutdown, which took place, I believe it was Wednesday, March the 18th, I mean, things had been pretty slow. It was spring break, as you remember, and it was really a busy time for us, or should have been anyway, but with everything going on, at the time we only had 4 cases. I believe as a restaurant group, we had met with the mayor on March the 16th, and there were 4 cases, and so if you recall, we were still talking about the possibility of a 2-week shutdown. And by the time all this is said and done and we reopen on May the 18th, it'll have been a full 60 days.
When do you think, what are customers telling you? I'm sure many of them are saying, I can't wait for you guys to be open.
Yeah, we're getting calls daily. And, we actually pivoted to a grocery store and, you know, that was very busy for the first few weeks. And then we've been doing, takeout and so forth. But we've also tried to, you know, keep everybody upbeat. And so we've done a couple of other things like the fiesta. We had the drive-through fiesta, which was very successful. We did a Cinco de Mayo festival this past weekend and through Tuesday. We are getting that sense. People want to get back out. I think we have to regain confidence. That's going to be the number one thing. And so we actually have been working internally on a very extensive playbook on how we're going to train our team members and get everybody ready and make people feel comfortable coming back.
All right. Pete Cortez, I got to let you go. We got a lot of the calls here, and I appreciate you calling and giving us an update on how things are going at Market Square and at Mitiera and with the transition team that you are a member. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let me go over to Dawn Ann Larios, Executive Director of the Texas Restaurant Association San Antonio Chapter. And so is what we're hearing from Pete Cortez is what you're hearing from other restaurant owners, these big restaurants that people have a very strong emotional attachment to. They want to go back in, but still, you know, it's not these, it's all personal. It's very personal business.
Yes, sir. And you know, our restaurateurs, they treat their team, their employees as family. And so when they take all of these things into consideration and decide, you know what, it's not time for us to open, I absolutely respect that. And I know that there are community members who respect that as well. Another issue is the occupancy rate right now, the 25% occupancy rate. When you consider the overhead and only being allowed to serve 25% occupancy, that just does not work for some of our larger restaurants and even our smaller restaurants who don't have the space.
Buddy Morris with the Economic Transition Team, what is this pledge, Greater Safer San Antonio Pledge? And Buddy Morris, you there? Okay, it seems like we have lost our phones for a moment. And so you're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Our conversation today is about the reopening of the Texas economy. What's it like for local businesses who want to serve the public, and at the same time, they want to keep the public and their employees safe from infection from COVID-19, which is a virus that there still is no treatment for and can be fatal. We do have a voicemail. This is from Richard.
Hi, I'm Richard, and the response to the current environment is worse than the virus itself. The opening up of the economy confirms that we should not have closed down to begin with. I don't have a crystal ball, but what's going to happen is when the economy opens up, we're going to have an increase in the cases, which is completely consequential. That tells me we should not have closed down to begin with, because the sooner we open it up, the sooner we get out of it. What basically is going to happen is everyone is going to have to be infected with it before we get past it. And closing it down is just going to prolong that process of an ultimate end. The closing down should have happened at the beginning to contain it. But since you can't put toothpaste back in a tube, the most effective thing, given what has come to pass, is to open it completely up. Rip the Band-Aid off.
All right, and that is a voicemail that we received from Richard, and he is criticizing the fact that these restaurants and businesses were shut down to begin with. Don Larios, that's a line of thought. So what is your reaction to that?
Well, you know, I have to respect everyone's opinion. Of course, we have people who feel that same way, and we also have callers like Karen, who is going to stay home. She doesn't feel comfortable coming out. I respect her decision as well. But what I can tell you is that our restaurants get inspected throughout the year, and they are leaders in the safe sanitation practices and will continue to be. And I ask anybody to please read our Texas Restaurant Promise, because not only is there a checklist for our restaurants to go by, and this was mandated by the governor, and of course he drafted this with knowledge and insight from leading medical experts and data. And so this isn't something that just we put together. We definitely consulted with the health experts. But there's also a employee health screening that we are implementing in our restaurants. We're asking our restaurateurs to make sure that their employees, they review this document, and it's a health screening before they step into a restaurant. So if they're feeling ill, if they have a cough, shortness of breath, the restaurateur, it's their responsibility to keep them from entering that establishment. We also have a checklist for restaurant customers. We're asking them to please maintain 6 feet distance. We will not allow them to sit at a table with six or more people. We are asking them to please consider wearing cloth face coverings, of course, when they're not consuming food. And so we are definitely taking all the necessary precautions to keep our community safe. That is our main priority.
Are you taking people's temperature when they walk in the door?
I would have to ask my restaurateurs. I'm leaving that up to their discretion. I'm not certain on that.
Okay, so that would be something else that could be considered to do to keep people safe and to keep your workers safe.
It's
not invasive. It's just putting a little laser to their head.
Well, and again, you know, the governor did not mandate that, and I just leave that up to the discretion of the restaurateur. If they feel they need to do that, they have every right to do so, and, you know, it is entirely up to them. But they are giving a health screening to all their employees as they are arriving to the restaurant.
Unfortunately, we don't have a public health official who could fact check, you know, what Richard called in and told and said that he thought that it was a mistake to shut down the economy and that it would have been better to just allow the COVID-19 to just infect everyone. You know, it's people were using the phrase flatten the curve for a while. It's a phrase that's fallen out of fashion. But, you know, the idea was that that would have resulted in millions of deaths in the United States. And so it's not just an infection. This is, we're talking about a lethal infection that would have caused severe economic damage. Some economists have said having done that would have caused more economic damage than what we are doing now. So Liz Provencio, a first assistant city attorney for the city of San Antonio, I mean, that's been the thinking, hasn't it? That this had to be done in order to protect the public.
Yes, David, that is right. And I think when you've had our health professionals on the call and the briefings that both the county and the city have provided at the end of the day, they've demonstrated various models that try to mimic what may have occurred had we not taken certain precautions. So, yes, this was necessary in order to, for public health reasons, and keep us safe.
And we will get an idea of what that would have been like. If it's that never had happened, we're going to get a taste of what that is now that we're opening the economy back up. People can go to restaurants and people can go to other places, gyms, what have you, pools, and mingle. And the infection can spread, particularly in Texas, because we don't have a face mask requirement. And we have these recommendations that are merely suggestions in our community. And that if someone violates one of these executive orders, that it's not that big of a deal because there's no enforcement now. So we'll be talking more about that when we come back from the break. You can call in. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. We're discussing businesses reopening. We understand that has to happen. People have to get to work. We have to get paychecks in people's hands. But also, we still have a COVID-19 crisis in our atmosphere here. It has not gone away. So how do we balance this? 833-877-8255. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back.
COVID-19 mortality rates are high for people with underlying conditions like diabetes. Does diabetes put you at greater risk for infection?
No, you don't have a higher risk of contracting it. But if you do contract it and you have unmanaged diabetes, you're higher likelihood that you're going to have a poorer outcome.
Diabetes and the coronavirus, next time on Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez. Download Fronteras wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about businesses reopening. Much more businesses are reopening now under Governor Abbott's proclamations, and more have opened recently. So we're talking about that this afternoon. You can call in. The number is 833-877-8255. What do you want to see happening? Are you filled with confidence about how this is being handled by the state of Texas? 833-TPR-TALK. Let's go to Andrew Brooks. Andrew Brooks is with Santikos. And Andrew, welcome to The Source.
Hey, good to be here.
So I understand you guys have opened partially up over the weekend, and y'all saw some folks who wanted to go back to the movies.
We did. We found there was a pent-up demand to come back and see some movies that had even already played.
And so what are you doing to keep people safe?
So we started. So when we opened up, we had been shut down for 44 days. And so when we closed, we started working on this plan of reopening right away. And during that time, we went and looked at places like grocery stores, your lumber yards like Home Depot and Lowe's. And we were trying to see, you know, what was the big thing that was going on, and what could we do to mitigate those? And so ours really turned into touch point mitigation. And then, of course, be smart, stay 6 feet apart. And so following those guidelines and the principles of we were always going to guarantee our employee safety, and then we were going to commit to community safety, we just started mapping out the theaters and how we could keep those two things happening. And so as soon as you enter our theaters, you're going to notice signage all over. Be smart, stay 6 feet apart. We've implemented things like sneeze guards. We're going to queue you in line, and we're going to ask some of those safety protocols we've seen and heard other businesses implement. We've taken away touch points like our grab and goes. So again, a grocery store type atmosphere, you'll walk through, pick something up, set it back down. We have eliminated that from the theaters. Those are closed and locked and completely empty. We don't want you to even be enticed to try to wiggle the door. And so you get up to concession. Normally, you'd order your popcorn, your favorite snack. You're going to get your drink cup and go to one of our freestyle machines. Those are closed off right now. So there's employees back there wearing proper PPE equipment, just like they do throughout the whole theater. And you're going to show them your receipt. They're going to point to the drink you want. They're going to fill that drink up for you. They're going to hand it to you. And we've lowered the prices on all those drinks and snacks. Large popcorns are $5. Large drinks are $5. Mm-hmm. Again, we don't want that cup to come back and then touch one of our machines we've just cleaned. So we're asking our guests, hey, if you want another large soda, it's another $5.
All right.
That's to keep it clean. If you want another large popcorn.
So you are seeing business. People are coming to your theater. They are accepting. They're willing to work with you on these adaptations that you've implemented to keep you, your employees, the customers, everyone safe, and they can go to the movies.
Very much so. The first 2 days, we saw over 3,000 guests.
All right. Andrew Brooks is the Executive Director of Marketing and Sales for Santikos Entertainment. Thank you so much for joining us and giving us that update. Liz Provencio is First Assistant City Attorney for the City of San Antonio. So what is happening with enforcement? You know, I'm reading about this Sally Luther, who was this hairstylist in Dallas. She didn't follow the rules. They tried to enforce the rules, and now Governor Abbott and everyone else, the Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, they're saying, you know, they let her out of jail. They said, don't worry about it. You're fine. Don't worry about the rules. I mean, what is happening with enforcement from the legal point of view?
So, David, as you are aware, we have had pretty good cooperation from the community throughout the emergency. And the enforcement perspective here in San Antonio and Bexar County has been mitigation first, then education, and then citation. And so what we've seen is great success with that, because some folks just needed to be reminded about what the rules are and were willing to comply. And so for purposes of enforcement in the city, that continues, again, with that approach being education, then mitigation, and only if necessary, then citation or other measures. And we are, you know, it continues to be modified based on the various orders. We do have additional reopen services that go into effect tomorrow, but there still are businesses that are prohibited, and the governor's order specifically lays out what those businesses are. There's still occupancy restrictions to the 25%, so all of those things are areas where our enforcement team goes out and helps to educate and get folks in compliance.
So these executive orders, they're coming from the governor's office, and if we are seeing an increase in the number of local cases of COVID-19, the mayor and the county judge, they really cannot re-implement these new rules to try to limit, enforce social distancing, right?
We do have processes in place to be able to raise issues with the state officials in response to what we may be seeing. So specifically, they've outlined surge response teams and how that may work. In addition, there will be continuing monitoring of positivity rates, hospitalization rates, those things that could be indicators. We have a communication mechanism in place with health officials where that would be elevated, because the governor has specifically said that counties may be treated differently based on what those factors look like. So for purposes of being able to pivot quickly and elevate if there is concern about what we're seeing with the numbers, we are prepared to do that.
All right. So Buddy Morris, chairman of the Spire Risk Management and member of the City of San Antonio Bexar County Economic Transition Team, when they put in the order to, okay, we're shutting down restaurants and other businesses, only essential businesses, all these other things, and now we're reopening, what has changed? What has changed with the COVID-19 so that it is now safe to reopen the businesses so that when we shut them down because of public health concerns, what's changed now?
David, that's a good question. I will tell you that in large part, that was the impetus behind putting together both the health transition team and the economic transition team, was to answer that question and try to develop a playbook that issues guidance that supports and enhances, the governor's plan. And so what I will tell you is what I've learned from the health transition team is that every day that goes by, we're learning more and more about this disease, what the ramifications are, the unique properties of it and so forth, how to treat it, et cetera. And so what that does is it provides us then with the opportunity to develop a plan that we think is safe and effective for reopening San Antonio. And so again, what I will tell you is that when we created the checklist, we created it in essence to cross, all business owners in San Antonio, regardless of industry. It's a 7-step pledge, and we think it's going to be effective. We think it at the end of the day, what people want is to reopen the economy, but they want to do so in a prudent, intelligent manner that is safe for everybody involved.
What if it doesn't happen? What if the numbers go up, dramatically go up?
Well, what I can tell you, David, again, that's a great question. What I can tell you that I've learned from, the really talented people at the UT Health Science Center that sit on our health transition team is that the numbers are going to go up. In part because there's a dramatic increase in testing. And so just that fact alone is going to increase the number of positives, whether...
Okay,
whether
so what about the number of fatalities?
Yeah, again, it's a balance. I do believe there is going to be an increase in fatalities. Anytime there are people that are coming together and out in public and so forth, unfortunately, that's one of the byproducts. I do think, however, if our citizens are adhering to the governor's guidelines and to the city's recommendations and the pledge, I think that we mitigate that to the greatest extent possible, and I think it provides us a safe landing spot.
So you say anytime people get together, there's some transmission of disease, but especially during the pandemic of a novel virus in which there is people don't have antibodies for, and that's why we have a pandemic, and then we have people, you know, dying. I mean, so when we say everyone go back to business, go to businesses, and then we have to say what will happen, what is the expected outcome, and so the expected outcome is, according to Governor Abbott, we will have more transmissions, right? We will see more fatalities.
That's my understanding, and that's also my belief. What I will tell you is that the epidemiologists and the specialists that were on the health transition team here in San Antonio have put together a really good plan of making sure we minimize that to the greatest extent possible. And so, again, David, you're talking about 25% occupancies and staying 6 feet apart and wearing masks. And to your point, which was one of our strong recommendations, the laser temperature checks, if you're doing all these things, you're going to mitigate that to the greatest extent possible.
Right. So the question is, how many more deaths will the public be able to be asked to tolerate, be asked to accept, so that the businesses can reopen? And, you know, what can we do to minimize the deaths? We understand that businesses have to do business. They have to be open. They have to interact with the public. But what is the balancing act? How do we get there? And when do we say we got to return to some other tougher levels of social distancing? 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK to join our conversation as we talk about the reopening of the businesses, the economy, restaurants, theaters during the time of COVID-19. And now we're joined by Tuesday Knight, and Tuesday Knight is a CEO of the San Antonio for Growth on the East Side, SAGE, and an Economic Transition Team member. And so welcome to The Source Tuesday Knight. Good to have you back.
Good morning, David. Thank you for having me.
So tell me about what's happening from your perspective, and I really want to hear about what's happening with small businesses on the East Side.
Absolutely. Well, one of the things that we were super excited about and participating on the ETT was coming from the perspective of being a small business ourselves, putting ourselves in a position where we need to help with other small businesses on the East Side. More than 50% of our businesses are small business who did not receive funding, who are struggling right now, and we were trying to do the best that we could to stay above water ourselves, but knew that we had to pivot and help those businesses that were in worse positions than we are.
And, Will, what are you hearing from these small businesses? I mean, many of them on the East Side, people depend on these small shops and restaurants. They're fantastic, have a lot of local color. They're just amazing, and people depend on them for their paychecks.
They do. And the problem is that a lot of those businesses rely on walk-in customers, people who are driving by, people who are familiar with them and go often, but now there's so much fear that people aren't utilizing those same businesses, and the small businesses are being affected more so than any other business. And I think we calculated on our transition team that there's about 50,000 small businesses in San Antonio. That's a lot of impact.
Yeah, so what does it look like? Are the restaurants, small businesses on the East Side ready to reopen under these new rules, or are they taking a wait-and-see approach? It seemed like it's going to be difficult to wait.
Well, they have, and I've spoken to many of them. Many of them have already put their plans in place. They've moved the tables. They've limited the amount of occupancy. They've started to get the things that they needed. But for those small businesses, if funding is an issue, so access to supplies is an issue, access to bringing those employees back because they're afraid, there's a lot of issues and there's a lot of disparities that are happening that are being recognized right now.
How do we correct for those?
That's a good question. One of the things that I was really, again, excited about in participating on the ETT was being able to use my voice and speak for those people, because one of the things that was most interesting was we are now having to do all of these new regulations and guidelines, but funding is an issue, access is an issue. And so I was able to speak to that on behalf of these businesses and know that they've got to open, they have to be financially sound, but how do we do that? And this playbook is going to help us create the how.
All right, Tuesday night, thank you. I have to leave you. I wish we could have you for longer, maybe some other time, get you back on the air. Come back to our conversation. Let's go to a caller. Let's go to Linda. Linda, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hey.
I want to say that I think our local authorities have done a good job, and that Governor Abbott basically destroyed what we had going when he overruled the mandatory masks. I think that's a terrible mistake. I would have gone to the movie theater wearing a mask, knowing that everyone else had to.
All right. Thank you for that, Linda. Don and Larios with the Texas Restaurant Association, San Antonio chapter. Can you kind of address what we were hearing from Tuesday night and also from our caller, Linda? You know, how can we help small businesses, really small ones that we have maybe on the east side, and also help people understand that if you wear a mask, that's a good idea?
Yes, sir. Well, in the minimum standard health protocols that was included in the governor's orders, it is telling people, restaurants, community members, customers, to consider wearing cloth face coverings. So it's not that he left it out. It is in there. It's in that list of protocols. And most of our customers, and I know that our restaurants and employees are wearing the face coverings. Now, as for what Ms. Tuesday Night stated, and let me touch upon the economic transition team, I had two members of our association sit on that economic transition team, and it was Pete Cortez, who we heard from earlier, and Jody Bailey Newman, who's also a restaurateur. And what they took with them to this meeting was the Texas Restaurant Promise. And so they used those steps, those guidelines, those protocols that our restaurants are promising to take. They took those items to these meetings, and they were incorporated into the final document. There were some additional resources that the city and county recommended to include the face coverings. But I'm very proud to say that Texas Restaurant Promise has been promoted by many in our community. And I will also tell you that the Texas Restaurant Association, we've created the Texas Restaurant Relief Fund. And this is a fund that any restaurant in Texas can apply for. It's a $5,000 grant for any restaurant who applies, who meets the qualifications. Our goal is to reach the 10 million mark. As of right now, we're at 2.2 million. So I ask people to please go to our website and please look at that Texas Restaurant Relief Fund, because it is helping our small businesses.
All right, let's go back to the phones with Riley. Riley, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. I just want to emphasize that it's not always an either-or choice between the economy and risking our health. There's a lot of ways that we can continue to support businesses without putting ourselves at risk. We can continue to use curbside delivery for the restaurants that we care about, that we want to keep going. And, if you haven't seen your barber in a while and you want to make sure they stay open, maybe just give them a call. Go ahead and pay for that haircut, but you don't have to put yourself at risk and go. So it's like paying it forward to keep the business going that you want to be there later. There's ways we can support people without putting ourselves at risk. Arts organizations, performing arts organizations, we got to think ahead to wanting it to be there when this passes, and we don't have to put ourselves at risk to do that. Thank you. I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Riley, thank you for those great suggestions. And back real quickly, Don, can you reply to that?
Well, would you believe that curbside is still one of the biggest drivers of sales to date? People are preferring to just pick up their order. They call it in or order it online. Therefore, no employee has to touch a credit card or touch cash. And so they just call in their order or make it online. They drive up, and the employee comes out, offers to either place it in the trunk, place the items in the passenger seat or the back seat, and this is working out beautifully. Right. So for those who don't want, they feel that they don't feel comfortable dining in, they can still use curbside service,
okay,
delivery methods. And I will ask you, you please go to our website, the San Antonio Restaurant Association, and we have a listing of all the restaurants that are open for dine-in and those that are just open for to-go and delivery and takeout.
Liz Provincio, Assistant City Attorney, City of San Antonio, does a private business, do they have the right to tell people you cannot come in unless you wear a face mask?
Thank you for that, David. Yes, they do.
So this is my business. I can just say, I can decide if you wear a face mask or not.
Yes, sir, they do have that ability.
And the person who says you're violating my civil rights by forcing me to wear a face mask, is that true?
Well, the property owner has the ability to be able to create the rules for, you know, provided that it's not, they're not discriminatory, right? But we see it all the time with no shoes, no shirt, no service. Similarly, a mask falls within that category should a business choose that.
All right. And so we also have a question from Julia, Liz, a legal question. Can businesses be held liable if a customer gets sick at their store?
So that's a good question from Julia. That will depend upon what those circumstances are. And obviously, I have confidence that between the resources of the economic transition team and those like of the Restaurant Association, those are the types of questions they're going through very specifically with their own lawyers to determine where those lines lie.
You'd have to demonstrate through rock-solid contact tracing that that's where you actually got the infection, you got the virus. But the same thing I wonder about for employees. Can employees sue their bosses if they got sick while on the job?
And David, that's a similar analysis. You're right, and it would. And again, I have confidence that folks like the Restaurant Association, as well as the resource folks on the transition team, are looking at those specific questions with their labor and employment lawyers to ensure that they're following the proper measures for their employees. There are going to be industry-specific requirements that OSHA requires, that sort of thing, and so it will require that specific look.
And back to Buddy Morris at the City of San Antonio Bexar County Economic Transition Team. Can you again sort of review what this Greater Safer San Antonio Pledge is and how people, you want it to make people feel confident going back to business?
Yeah, that's exactly right, David. It's a consumer confidence issue. I mean, this is a classic, you know, business school case whereby if businesses make it safe and appealing to their customers, to their consumers, then they're going to come. And the ones that choose not to do so, unfortunately, I think, are gonna have to deal with the consequences of that. And so, you know, my hat's off to Andrew at Santico's and Pete at Mitiera and the hundreds of others of businesses that are going well above and beyond the governor's orders, the city's orders to make people feel comfortable and safe. The
right.
The seven Greater Safer Together.
Okay, we're out of time, buddy, but I appreciate you coming on the air and giving us that update. Buddy Morris, Chairman of Spire Risk Management, member of the Economic Transition Team, Don and Larios, with the Texas Restaurant Association, and Liz Provincio, Assistant City Attorney, City of San Antonio. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia. Dan Katz is TPR's news director. Support for The Source comes from contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.